In Fantasy Suites Week on The Bachelor, Rachel avoids getting a broken jaw, but can she avoid leaving Tulum with a broken heart? And lightning literally strikes during Joey and Daisy's date, but has it struck twice with Kelsey? Or is the Dear Joe letter waiting for him at his door a sign of Kelsey losing her window? It's all coming up on The Bachelor Zone.
Welcome to The Bachelor Zone.
Welcome back to The Bachelor Zone, your spin-free zone for hard-hitting Bachelor stats and analysis. I'm your host, Michael Wally. With me, as always, two of my dearest friends and your favorite Bachelor pundits and competitive speed dating experts. We've got Zachary Pike.
Hola, Michael Wally. Hola, America. It's good to see everybody on this fantasy weekend.
And welcome back, Daniel A. Duddy.
I'm back. But I'm back. Hey, guys. I'm back.
Great to see you back, bud. You pulled a little bit of a 1998 Dennis Rodman on us, where you came to us and you said, guys, like, I need to clear my head, escape to Canada, perform some comedy, let loose a little bit so I can come back for the playoffs and give you my best effort. And so you had a trip with your sketch team. We'll talk about that more tonight on Left Unsaid, where you get all your exclusive Bachelor Zone content. Also, we talked a little bit about an ongoing war we have with a former sponsor of ours. And it got us thinking about what is our favorite strongly worded email that we've ever sent. And we've got some good ones. We're going to be talking about that on Left Unsaid as well.
Live on air behind the paywall. So our former employers, and maybe current, who knows, don't hear our strongly worded emails.
Hopefully. And so if you're the guy, if you enjoy us and you like a good strongly worded email, patreon.com/TheBachelorZone. Now let's get into this great fantasy suite action we had last night with our headlines brought to you by Tulum Cenotes. You're totally going to cave. Let's start with Rachel, who entered Suites Week at number 3 in the AP polls. And maybe we still can't say that we've seen everything on The Bachelor, but we sure got a big step closer as Rachel sustained a jaw injury while jumping into the lake. So painful that it forced her and Joey to spend the whole second quarter of her date in the hospital. So, guys, the prognosis on Rachel's jaw turned out to be just fine, and it didn't stop her from getting a key to the fantasy suite. But after failing to secure the coveted falling in love bomb that Kelsey and Daisy walked away with, what's the prognosis on Rachel's season?
I think it's pretty tough. Just because the competition we have now, it's zero mistake ball right now. And even though it wasn't necessarily her fault, it was just a freak injury, happens to all athletes. It's going to be hard to come back from with the amount of time we have left.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Right now, the injury, she fell, flat on her face. But I feel like even more damning is just the lack of an I love you that the other women seem to have.
Well, first of all, this jaw incident and brace yourselves, hot take incoming. I actually think it was an advantage because the gap between her at number 3 and Kelsey at number 2 in the AP polls going into this week was wide enough that classic and cute and down the middle and predictable was not going to close the gap. She had to do something different, or in this case, something different had to happen to her. And boy, was this different. And I think it was a good thing, weirdly, because now she has concrete proof of A, that she's a gamer, and B, how hard she's willing to fight to make this work with Joey. And honestly, if the injury had been worse, I think it would have made it even better. If she had, not that I wish that she broke her jaw, no one does, but if she had, she would have had that advantage of like, oh man, I was about to break up with her, but she just broke her jaw, so I've got to wait a week or two. And a week or two from now is the final. So I think it bought her some time, it bought her some goodwill. And also in terms of not getting the FIL bomb, historically, it's not a great sign, but last fall in the Golden Bachelor, when it came down to the final three, Teresa was the only one of the three women who did not get one. And look what happened with her. She ended up winning. So it's not necessarily the kiss of death. What I think is the kiss of death, though, is Joey wanted to have breakfast outside.
Ooh.
We saw that with Zach Shellcross and Rachel Recchia. Yeah. We saw that with Tayshia and Ivan the Terrible. Mm. When the lead's going for breakfast outside, that's them saying, all right, I'm done with the closed doors. time for me to push you further and further out the door. So that to me, more than anything else, was the sign that as good a season as Rachel had, all-star season, but it's just not her year for a title.
Also, Continental seems like a trend there too. When we got the fruit
that's
out,
true, yes.
The fruit's never a good sign.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I'm curious, you know, your thoughts. I want to push back on the injury aspect of it, because while I do think early in the season, you know, having an injury can bump you to a week. I don't know what, you know, I think in that final three, I think it can only be a negative, because I don't think you're getting grandfathered into the final two off of, you know, some sort of technicality.
Probably not, but I think it does make it a lot more difficult. But also, the big fear that players have at this stage in the game is, man, it's been going so great, but this whole tournament has been played in a bubble. This isn't real life. But when you're rushing your date to the hospital because she thinks she may have broken her jaw and they're doing the work on her, that's a slice of real life. That's a very rare slice of real life at this stage in the competition. And so Joey sat and it confronts him with, like, man, I really care about this person being okay, and I want to be there for her, and she wants to fight through this for me. Like, those are all things that we never get to see at this stage in the tournament, especially in these tropical locations.
I think it would set a bad precedent for the game, though. You know, you get rewarded for breaking your jaw. Who knows?
I kind of like
these crazy bones. If that was the precedent,
I like the gumption that it causes. Like, people got to really get in there and scrap it up a little bit. You know,
right.
Breaking a jaw is not easy. I don't know if it... Yeah, I was fascinated. I replayed the game tape a couple times, seeing how she landed. I think having the mouth open when you're going down like that's never a good move. The pressure can hit you pretty bad.
And I think she said that she looked down at the water, too, while she was doing it, which...
That'll do it. That's the first rule of jumping from high places. But yeah, you want to make yourself aerodynamic, and she didn't do it. And I think she's going to pay a price. Wally, you think it might be a good thing, but we'll find out.
Might be a good thing, but the major problem for her is that we have this all-time great heavyweight battle that's been unfolding right in front of our eyes for the past several weeks between Kelsey and Daisy, and we got another historic chapter of it. Back and forth, they went into the balmy night as both pitched gems once again, en route to Joey telling both of them that he's fallen in love with them and has been for some time. But the game ended on a very interesting cliffhanger that has fans nervous about Kelsey's prospects when she left Joey a note with the four most dreaded words in dating: "We need to talk." So, guys, who do you think won the latest round of Daisy versus Kelsey? And do you see this Kelsey letter as a Big Bachelor editing fake out or a big deal?
I don't know if it's a fake out,
really?
But I love the move. Mm. I love the tactic behind it. Yeah, I absolutely do. I think there's an easy way to read this as her being rattled. Yes, that could be true. But I think when you're in the top two spot and you see someone like a Daisy out in front of you, I think drastic measures need to be taken. I think you need to take those big swings. And, you know, this is one of those things where it's bad analysis is going to be hindsight, right? If she boots herself, we're going to say you shouldn't have done that. But if she wins, this looks straight out of the school of Cassie. This is like a straight up Cassie move. And we'd go, oh, what a genius. What a prodigy of the game. She knew just when to play the card. I think that absolutely this could be the type of thing that sends Joey reeling, makes him realize, I don't want to lose this person, and calls it all off and says, hey, you know, she's going to complete the ultimate steal. It's totally possible.
I could get in with this. I it does feel like it's more serious than just a time move or just a ball management kind of thing, a time management situation. But I wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't, right? I'm not like fully going Dan Duddy's theory right here, but I think it's close enough. I just don't know. I didn't see much in their one-on-one time that would give me like crazy alarm bells. You know what I mean? Other than her being like, I don't like the idea that you know, probably said yes to all the other fantasy suites or whatever the normal fantasy suite drama is. Or maybe it's something that's, you know, homebound, you know, maybe she needs to head home for something or, you know, something like that, that you wouldn't really know
about. Oh, I didn't consider that.
Yeah. Maybe she hasn't pooped in 5 days or something.
That tends to happen down there in Tulum.
Yeah.
What I know for sure is that as a fan of the game, this has just been a pleasure to watch these two duke it out. I mean, it's professional speed dating at its very best. Every time Kelce throws a haymaker, Daisy just punches right back and always has an answer. And this week, Kelce has this masterful date that ends with eggs and bacon and Joey lifting her on the kitchen counter and climbing the honey tree. And it's so sexy. Mm-hmm. And you think to yourself, man, how is Daisy going to follow that up?
Right.
And then what does she come with? But this one of the best running toddler jump hugs I've ever seen to start a date.
Perfect.
Like, she said, Joey, before we go, one more thing. And then one of the sexiest cuts in the smoocheria that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Outdoor shower trip to the smoocheria. And then a trip where lightning literally strikes behind them.
Mm-hmm.
Like she just, it was the scorecard is so close. I honestly, I couldn't even tell you who came out on top.
Yeah.
I see the point you're making, DA, that, and like I said about Rachel, where something different needed to happen to close the gap, you could say the same thing about Kelce, that she needs to try something different outside of her comfort zone to try to surpass Daisy, who still remains in the number one spot. But here's what I'm worried about, and here's why I think whatever this is going to end up being a huge mistake. Joey, at the start of this episode, and a couple times now, he's had tearful interviews with the media where he's talked about how he still hasn't shaken the ghost of Charity and how he's worried that at the end of this, he's not going to be chosen, And while Daisy dropped her L-bomb and it looked like she did so with 94% confidence, Kelce's dropping her professions with about 110% confidence. Like she's screaming it from the rooftops at this point. And if you're a lead who's really fearful of not being chosen, do you go with the girl? Do you go with the player who you're pretty sure is also into you? Or do you go with the player who you have no doubt is into you? But it was with Kelce leaving this note, now there's going to be a seed of doubt. And now she loses that advantage.
Yeah, 100%. The thing that blew me away about Kelce's L-bombs is they were straight up I love yous, which we don't see very often. Those hit different. You know, just a straight up I love you or I love you really hits different. So that's something I 100% agree with you, Wally. It's basically what I'm saying. When Daisy did that one more thing move, I just said it was stone cold champ shit. Just stone cold. I don't think I've ever seen a move. It's so effortless with her. Do you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't even look like she's thinking about it or trying it. Like, it's just truly, it's just magic to watch. It's really something. She's going to go down in history no matter what, no matter what happens next week.
Mm-hmm. I think this is going to be a battle, guys. I really do. I feel like Kelce's got that fire in her eyes. So, yes, I see what you're saying. You're making a good point, Wally. But I don't think Joey's going to come away with this from this and say, I have doubts about this woman. I think he's going to say, I need to give this woman reassurance because she's so into me and I don't want to lose her. I don't know. I guess we'll let the scoreboard decide. But I can never look at a player who wants it that badly and has that type of fire and passion and think that that's not a good thing.
Yeah, the point you're making is well taken. In my mind, what we saw a pump fake earlier this season with Maria, and Joey did not take kindly to that. And I wonder, is it the player? Is it Joey? Is it just that's not his style? Or was it the timing of it? Is the finals the perfect time to try this? The same way that Cassie Randolph waited to pull such a move until the final stage, and it ends up being perfect timing.
I don't know. I guess, again, we'll find out. I guess Cassie's also a tough comparison to draw from because turns out Colton was gay. So,
yep.
You know,
variables.
Who knows what was going on psychologically when, you know, he was saying, I don't know. It sounds like he was figuring a lot of things out.
Right. Yeah. It's like an asterisk in italics. That's from that season.
But I think we've got a duel on our hands. I think we've got a battle for sure.
I want to shout out before we move on to our next segments. The Golden Ladies really came through. I thought I thought I'd be annoyed by it. And at first, when I had Susan on the couch, I was kind of like, this feels a little forced. But as it went on, each one coming in, I know some of them were maybe not as in the pocket.
Hard disagree.
As others. Wow. Let's get into
oh,
it.
Oh, really?
Let's do this now.
Hard disagree.
Is this, yeah. We don't do this now or left unsaid?
Oh.
No, I say we,
let's do it
I
now.
Say we do it now.
Let's do it now. It'll be quick. Okay. It'll be quick. Yeah, let's lock this out.
Yeah, we've been hard disagree. I thought they blew it. I'd say they're my mayors of Choketown.
Wow. Yes. All right. Well, guess maybe we'll save it for then. I mean,
all right,
buddy, wow, that's crazy to me. What I'm curious to, as to why, but I guess I'll find out in a later segment, as you say. But I think the whole thing of having this cross-generational roster is going to make for some really good shit. Because also imagine when we get our old fucking Korean War veterans that we were talking about last week talking to the boys in a year's time. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's going to be great. I love this mechanism, even though I should hate it. I love it. But yeah, I guess we'll
I'd
hear
say
about
the
why
only
it's bad.
One who I'll give a little bit to uh-huh. is Sandra.
That's
because
that's
I feel
my
like
one. Yeah.
She coached Daisy into being more sexually aggressive with Joey.
100%.
But the other two, I think they were neutral at best.
Wow.
And I think Leslie.
I thought Susan was great.
Wow.
No, I think Susan sucked. I think Susan was just generic and just it was just schlock.
So we might be closer on this study than I think.
Susan said something. Didn't she say something like you can't love someone until you love yourself?
Yeah.
I think that's the first time Rachel heard that before.
Right. I think, Duddy,
that's the cut man in the corner, though. Yeah. That's saying you have to love yourself first. That's like rubbing the shoulders. Like, you're the boss. Like, that's what that is.
You got him, Chief. Listen, I think it's a matter of. There's not as much daylight on this as I thought there was when we first disagreed, Duddy. I don't think Susan and what's her name? Leslie did a terrible job. I don't think they did a good job. I'll agree with you on that. I thought the execution of it was a little janky. What I like about this and why I am team Golden Bachelor coaches in the end of the fantasy suites. Is just the mechanism of it. I think it's something that can be fun in the future. And it wasn't, I enjoyed it as a thing. Their individual coaching, sure, some of them believe divided, some does be desired, but like, who gives a shit? You know, like, I want to see some like fucking Golden Bachelorette contestant next year just like saying the worst fucking advice you could think of and be like, just don't do her or whatever. Like, just some crazy shit that, like, you know, he's like, just make sure you don't look her in the eyes past 11 p.m. or something. You know, like, just some crazy. Like, that's what I'm looking for. And we're not going to get that unless we keep going with this. So I'm pro Golden Bachelor coaching.
Yeah, I mean, not just Big Bachelor. It was true of ABC as a network this week, where Sunday you had the Oscars. Mm. And when the acting categories were being presented, they had five past winners address each of the nominees.
Favorite part of the Oscars. It was
fucking
awesome.
It was beautiful. And sometimes... You had people like Lupita Nyong'o saying to Davine Joy Randolph, your performance was a tribute to your grandmother whose glasses you wore during filming. What a pleasure it was to see the world through her eyes and through yours. And I fell over in tears at how beautiful that was. But then
and you think Sandra and Leslie?
No, but I'm saying sometimes you have that. And then sometimes you have Tim Robbins saying, Robert De Niro, your performance was Oscar winning. Oscar worthy.
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes the execution is there, sometimes it's not. But the idea is great. Yeah.
The crazy shit Nick Cage said about what's his name. yeah. No, I agree. That's what I'm saying, Duddy. Like, some of them, if you're going to throw out the baby with the bathwater, we're going to miss out on the fucking Sally Fields talking up Emma Stone. And we're going to miss out on fucking Nick Cage talking up about what's his name.
Yeah, I think like there were some gems that came from it, in my opinion, and there are some gems to come.
Well, you know what? I feel like you can keep the mechanic, but you know, as far as these three women, how they did as coaches, I'll say subpar.
All right, we'll talk about a little bit of Mayor of Choketown, but what's for sure is that we've got, assuming that Kelsey wants to stay, it seems like we have this unbelievable finals in our future. Just a classic gritty battle between Kelsey and Daisy. And you're only going to get to choose one of them for your fantasy lineup. So who should it be? It's a really tough decision. But as always, we've got your back. Here's the talented Mr. Jose Max Singer with your Fantasy Minute.
Here he comes now, but my Max Singer, he's a fantasy pro. Gonna tell you who's playing for the ring, for the rose, or for the road. And he's got those takes an inside scoop, but you're gonna need some Max Singer. Who do you like this week in fantasy?
Fantasy Suites in Tulum will be a two-parter, narrowing it down to two women. Let's break down one simple stat line from this week's episode. 455 to 220. That's the total points scored on the Batch Live app for Kelsey and Daisy, respectively. After outscoring her biggest competition more than 2-1, has momentum officially shifted to Kelsey to bring home the ring? I'm locking her into my lineup ahead of the finale because I believe in this momentum, and the cliffhanger letter storyline provides screen time and points potential in the short run. Kelsey is putting up massive stats down the stretch, but will regular season stats also equal a championship? Only time will tell. So set your lineups in the Batch Live app, and as always, I'm the talented Mr. Rose, and this has been your Fantasy Minute.
Thank you, Max. We're going to take a quick break. More Batch Zone coming up right after this. Top of the morning to you. This episode brought to you by the St. Patrick's Day Shamrock Shavers, Manscaped. This year, don't just chase rainbows. Make your own pot of gold and have the man in your life groom his little leprechaun with the leaders in Below the Kilt Care. Say goodbye to his clover forest with Manscaped's Lawnmower 5.0 and let his confidence shine bright. Embrace the luck of the Irish and have him join the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by heading over to manscaped.com and using our code ZONE3, that's Z-O-N-E and the number 3, for 20% off and free shipping on your order.
Guys, you know what girlfriends don't like to find at the end of the rainbow?
What's that?
Pubes all over the shower. Right. And because this new razor is equipped with dual LED spotlights so he can navigate his shamrock patch in peace, don't even worry about it. It's waterproof. Shaving by the misty moors under a waterfall or even during a rain dance has never been easier. Do the Irish rain dance? What's going on with this copy? Whatever. Go on.
I don't know what's going on with the copy, but I do know this. You can get 20% off and free shipping with code ZONE3 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with code ZONE3 at manscaped.com. This St. Patrick's Day, make sure his little hairy leprechaun is luckier than ever with Manscaped. And that's not the copy. I just thought of that right now.
That's the copy.
Coming up next, we're going to be talking all things swats, deflections, box outs, and down hard, gritty defense. It's Steal of the Night.
This is the Steal of the Night.
Steal of the Night brought to you this week by Poorly Cracked Eggs. I'm loving it. So, guys, some great play out there by all three of our of the Sweet Three on both ends of the floor. Zach, kick us off. Who gets your steal of the night for Fantasy Suites week?
So this one I thought long and hard about, but it's really a matter of effect that it had on a game. I don't think we've seen a steal have this big effect on a date in a long, long time. So it's got to go hands down to Tautlock, the Aztec god of rain and cenotes and earthly fertility and water, worshipped as a giver of life and sustenance. There's many different... this is an interesting thing, and this is the reason I had to go to Tautlock. Is Tautlock, if I'm pronouncing it incorrectly. Get at me, folks down there. There are many different representations of Tautlock. There are many different offerings given to him. Tautlock is often represented through the iconography of a butterfly.
Whoa.
Right? So from beyond the grave, the mom of the biggest competitor of our person gets buddy-buddy with this Aztec, you know, butterfly god of water and cenotes and says, hey, you mind cold clocking the competition for my daughter? And he does it. Tautlock does it. It does it. I'm not sure what his pronouns are. But they pulled it off and knocked Rachel so far out of the game, they had to go to the freaking ER in Tulum, which is, they got all kinds of shit going on down there. Surf injuries and diving injuries and Tautlock knocking people out, twisting jaws out. It looked like a spell had been put under. It looked like Little Mermaid or something when she came out of the water and she couldn't speak or anything. pretty effective stuff. So shout out to Tautlock. You're joining all the other Steal of the Night winners out there in Bachelor Universe. He's part of the Bachelor Universe now. It's great.
Yeah, so Kelsey's mother, her spirit was felt profoundly during the hometown dates last week when the butterflies came out to play and shout out for Kelsey in New Orleans. And I guess Kelsey's mom, she's got it like that with some of the Mexican legendary gods now too. So one nominee there. I was about to say it's the first time that a god has gotten a nominee, but I think we have nominated gods before, or the god, I don't know. We'll have to go back in the archives.
The Judeo-Christian god you think we nominated?
Yeah, I think we may have done that, nominated him before. Or, and I also don't know their pronouns. But so yeah, big nomination for Tetlock. That's a great one. DA, who you got this week?
For me, I also thought hard and long about this. But I'm going to have to give it to Joey for stealing Scarface's wardrobe. I don't know if they were planning on, like, when he sat down for dinner, I thought they were about to serve him a giant mound of Coke. What was going on with that outfit?
I liked it.
It was every time. It was like jacket and bare chest almost. I don't really have anything else. Say hello to my little friend. I don't know. Joey, good work.
I'd like to think that's what he said in the fantasy suite.
You
take a look at the bad guy.
Thank you for speaking for dunking the alley oop.
Speaking of Pacino, how do you guys feel about Pacino's performance at the Oscars?
The New York Times called it shambolic. Look up the definition of that word.
Shambolic.
Oh, poor guy.
Yeah, I'll say this. Joey might have been in Tulum, but he truly was fully Cubano.
Okay.
In his approach.
Fascinated by how this plane is landing in the wind right now.
Yeah. So he gets my steal of the night.
Nice.
For my steal of the night, I'm looking at the envelope and my eyes see Kelsey's skirt, because going into this game and all season long, Kelsey has been scoring at such a high clip that we've all been wondering, like, who or what is going to stop her. And the answer ended up being this overly long skirt that she was wearing at the start of the date. It rejected her from doing the running toddler jump hug like players always want to start the date with. And then when she got on the yacht with Joey, she couldn't find a comfortable seating position. She was shifting around like crazy. The skirt wasn't letting her run, let her jump, let her sit, let her do anything. It wasn't until she got rid of the skirt and jumped in the water that she started getting a rhythm. And then she had a great game from there, but stumbled out of the gates a little bit. So I got to give it to the skirt.
Mm. It's a good pick.
This is a good lineup this week. Yeah. I love it.
A skirt, a god, and a coked up lead. I like it.
Yes.
I like it.
One of the most diverse Steal of the Night lineups that we've ever had. Let us know what you think. Help us break this tiebreaker on our social media. Who do you think should win Steal of the Night at Fantasy Seats Week? Can't wait to hear what you have to say about that. But let's look at the other side of the coin as we hand up the keys to the city that nobody wants to go to in Mayor Choketown. Mayor Choketown brought to you this week by Sexual Oomph. 60% of the time works every time. So a lot of great play out there, but not by everybody. It's a lot of pressure this late in the season. Not everybody handles it well. DA, let's start with you. Who gets your key to the city at Choketown?
I want to give it to the Bachelor ad sponsors who seem to just keep using the same taglines from every ad campaign. I think that's the fifth time I'm loving it. You'd think that there would be some sort of copyright protection.
No, it's all fine. It's all
good. I would think, but instead I'm going to have to give it to our Golden Bachelorettes for their coaching performance. You guys seem to love it, but for me, it was, I don't mind the mechanic of it. It was just the execution. I feel like the advice was generic. It was vague at times. I think Sandra gave Daisy some good advice to get in there, get sexual. But she also, even in giving her good advice, I want to give it more to Daisy for kind of finding the nuggets of truth and just a deluge of just kind of craziness. But especially if I was dependent on one, it would be Leslie, who completely got in Kelsey's head. I mean, the job of a coach should at least be first do no harm.
Right. Yeah.
That's a Mayor of Choketown worthy performance to me if I've ever seen.
Zach, how about you? Who you got? Who gets your key to the city this week?
I'm going to have to give it to Kelsey because I don't know if you guys saw, I don't know if it was like a ref job or whatever. On these security cameras, we have the time, right? In the hallway. It was 16:04 is the time I had listed, which is international time. So in American time, for you Americans out there, it's 4:16 in the afternoon, which I don't know the last time I was down in Tulum watching how fantasy suites work, but I'm pretty sure he's on a date, right? You know he's on a date. What are we doing here? Like, you're gonna catch, you got to catch him at some time when he's not gonna be out and about and overnight and all that stuff. Or it's also siesta time. It's just not a good time to try to come up on. If you guys came to my place at 4 o'clock today, I would have been honk shoe sleepy time king in Naptown, and I wouldn't have answered the door. You know what I mean? So
not
it's just
the
a
first
weird time
you
would have
turned me away in a time of need.
Oh boy, let's not relitigate this now. Hard to pick Mirotoque down. Yeah,
you lost
probably
the
give her.
You lost the trial, Daddy. We did that already on Left Unset.
Yeah. So anyway, give it to Kelsey for showing up at a time when he's out on a date or some shit.
Or is it possible that she wanted Joey not to be there? But she wanted to make it look good for the cameras because she knew the cameras were there, too.
I think the cameras thought it was possible and thought that would be a good time to have that happen. I think if that showed up, if she showed up, it would have been a lot more effective for what she wanted to maybe pull off. And I think it would have been nice for us to see how everything shook out this week and then maybe left us on a cliffhanger rose ceremony. But, you know, whatever. I don't make the rules. I just call it like I see it.
So we got two interesting nominees here. One vote for Leslie and one for Kelsey's mismanagement of... the hotel cameras and knocking on Joey's door. Yeah, Daddy, I think you're being a curmudgeon with the coaching from the Golden Gals. I thought Susan was fantastic when Rachel was saying that she's afraid to say how she feels and Susan whispered, just say it. I thought that was such a beautiful moment, and that's what that mechanic is all about. I thought Sandra was great too, except for when she said, tell him I can't wait to start practicing making babies with you. Guys love it.
I like that.
No, we don't. I think I can speak.
I think if someone said that to me, I'd like it. I'd be into it.
You would?
Yeah. I think but if a girl.
You can't judge Zach.
Am I the wrong here?
You can't judge men based on Zach.
If there was a girl I was casually dating who's like, I want to practice making babies with you, I'd probably, it'd work. It'd work on me. But yeah,
it
like Daddy said, I guess I'm a rare bird.
Run as fast as I could in the other direction.
Interesting.
But all right. Interesting left unsaid topic, maybe. But. Yeah. So that was my one knock on Sandra, but to break the tie, Daddy, I actually have to agree with you here. I'm going to give it to Leslie because her job is to go out there and empower and encourage the player that she's matched up with. And all she did was sow seeds of doubt in her mind. And so you have two players who are getting the advice of don't worry about anything else. Just focus on your relationship with him. Just go for it. But Kelsey's getting the advice of make sure you've got a little voice in the back of your mind that's being doubtful of this whole thing. And then Leslie's voice, I think, remained that little voice in the back of her mind. And Kelsey's a great player, and she found a way around it. She kind of recrafted it into, I'm not going to expect anything, but I'm going to be hopeful.
Yeah.
And I think she's kind of been playing along, playing with that company line, and it clearly worked for her during the date. But I wonder if it was Leslie's voice in Kelsey's head that made her write that note and made her drop it on Joey's door. If it gives her lingering doubts, and if in turn it's going to give Joey doubts. Again, we need to wait for the shoe to drop, right? We need to see what is that letter about, and how's Joey going to react to it. But the seeds have been planted. They've been planted by Leslie, and that's why I'm going to plant in her hand an official key to the city of Choketown here in week 9. So still got 3 women left because we end on a cliffhanger. Let's take a look at the road ahead. Who's thriving? Who's merely surviving? And who's driving on the 710 to Pasadena? It's Ring Rosa Road. Ring Rosa Road brought to you this week by Hotel Camera Montages. Anything less would be uncivilized. So 3 players left.
That's a new
Rachel,
one.
The standings remain exactly the same as they were last week. Rachel is at number 3. Zach, does she have a chance here? Can she close the gap? What does she have to do? Ring Rose or Road?
A lot would have to. I would say Road with some roses on it because a lot would have to go bad. Rachel is a fucking great player. She's really good at competitive dating. She likes Joey a lot. Joey likes her a lot. And any other year, she would be winner, winner, chicken dinner. But because she's surrounded by maybe 2 of the best defensive players and one of maybe the best players we've seen in Bachelor history, she's got a high hill to climb. And like I said, a lot of has to go wrong. I think Kelsey would have to self-eliminate and Daisy would have to decide that she's not feeling it. for Rachel to maybe get a late buzzer beater or overtime win at the after the final rose, maybe to get the ring.
DA?
I'm kind of with you in some ways, Zach. I think I have the same rating of road rose type of deal, but I would think that Rachel is to me a Josh Allen right now, where I think she has the talent, but I think there's something about her where it's just luck is not on her side and she doesn't have it. And the moment, you know, things might be looking good, she falls, you know, she almost breaks her jaw or just, it's just not her season. And I wonder if when it comes to competitive speed dating, it'll ever be her season. I feel like she will always be the third best player in the league, which is a great place to be if you want to do anything but win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, Zach, that she's going to need a self-elimination at this point to get to the finals, because Daisy and Kelsey are just, they're just playing perfect, virtually perfect mistake-free ball at this point, and they're not really giving Rachel a chance to catch up. But even if one of them self-eliminates, that will get her to the finals. But no lead ever who... I'll put it this way. If the reason you're in the finals is because someone left, you're not going to win that finals.
Right.
And that's the situation that Rachel would be in. And yeah, I think the Bills are an interesting analogy, DA, because they have so many games on national TV every year. And the narrative is always like, oh, the Bills are so close. Maybe this is their year. And this year I thought to myself, you know what? I'm sick of this narrative with them. It's shit or get off the pot time. And if you don't win, then blow it up. And I frankly think the Bills should just blow up the whole thing and start over and put their fans out of their misery and give them some hope. And with Rachel, I think this game was the put up or shut up game, because her fear has been that maybe it's too late and that she's too slow of a burn. I think this was the game where she had to get really far outside of her comfort zone and show Joey something that he hadn't seen before. And she played a good game. Played a gritty, tough game, but I don't think she did that. I don't think she threw a curveball that's going to keep her in this competition. So I'm staying road. Number two, we've got Kelsey there. Very strong number two. Feels like a coin flip at this point. So close between Kelsey and Daisy. DA, is Kelsey playing for the ring, the rose, or the road?
I think ring. And while I do think...
Put the mic to your mouth, Duddy. What's happening? What are we doing here? what kind of ramshackle operation do you think we're running over here?
I'm sorry, I forgot how microphones worked.
That's a shambolic beginning by Daniel.
I gotta find out what this word means. I think it means great.
We'll Google it.
I'll say this. Here it is. Kelsey's a ring from me. Even though I feel like it was, you know, maybe not in her initial game plan to drop the letter, I feel like that, you know, it's the type of thing that could look like an unforced error. I still wonder if there's going to be a Derek Jeter moment where, you know, the shortstop of herself runs through, grabs the ball, and throws a dart to first. With this analogy, I'm saying I think she's going to make a chicken salad out of chicken shit with this. And I think this can actually be the type of move that not only gets her into the final two, but could lay the foundation for her taking this one from Daisy.
Wow.
Zach, what are you ordering? Shit or salad? Ring, rose, or road?
That's a weird dichotomy. I think I would probably do... it's a Sophie's Choice if I've ever seen one. I think I would probably go with the fish, which I would call a rose, which is she's not going to win this season, but she's a winner in my book in terms of what her future is looking like, because I think she's absolutely not out, depending on how this all wraps up next week, to be a bachelorette contender. And also, I think if she does go down to paradise, she'll be the queen. She will absolutely rule that place with an iron fist. I think she has her pick of the litter, as long as she doesn't end up with some schmo or someone who is, you know, going to play games with her. I think she could easily lock it down and be the one to get an actual ring in down in Mexico. if she doesn't get it this time.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I think she's going to get the ring here. At the end of last week, I thought to myself, man, it's such a tight race, but I'm slightly leaning toward Daisy. Now I'm thinking about it after this week's action, and I say, man, it's such a tight race, but this time I'm actually leaning toward Kelsey. And the reason for it, just looking at the scorecard, A, her profession of love felt more confident, as I said earlier, and B, the flip side of that, Joey said he professed his feelings to both Kelsey and Daisy. I thought the most salient profession of love that he dropped was when he said to Kelsey, when I'm with you, I don't want the day to end. There were some very nice things that he said to Daisy. Nothing quite as salient as that.
Yeah.
And so that makes me feel like that Kelsey's got a slight edge going into this final game here. We'll see what happens with the note. A lot hinges on that. But playing some really stellar ball and maybe even did well enough to leapfrog Daisy. In Joey's eyes, in the AP's eyes, she's still at number one in the polls. Zach, ring, Rosa Road.
Ring. I think I've said it every single week. Ring, 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 went the trolley. It's a matter of just, she's maybe the, I'm still, if she continues this to the end, if she doesn't pull a, sorry, Wally, like a Tom Brady in the win, and you know, the one loss season.
Yeah, we know what just, we know what happened.
Yeah,
we know what
happened. Like if moving someone on. Doesn't catch a fucking ball with their helmet, then I think she is in contention for one of the greatest competitive daters of all time. If she gets this ring and rides off into the sunset. Although I will say I'm a little interested for her legacy's sake to see if she doesn't, for whatever reason, if Kelsey ends up taking this season in kind of a Tom Brady versus the Giants situation, and she ends up down in paradise, or better yet, as the Bachelorette herself, she might be able to build a legacy that is like LeBron, or, you know, she could be a GOAT. She could be even more of a GOAT, I think, if we see her in different assets, you know, or different facets of her game. She becomes a lead, she goes down to the paradise, plays the spread, like, yeah, she just, I don't think she could do no wrong. I think she could do no wrong. I mean, she's she's great, really swell.
Yeah Whether she wins or loses, her future in the BCU certainly seems bright. DA, are you on the trolley with Daisy? Ring, Rosa Road.
I'm on the trolley. I looked up what shambolic means and how dare you, but I'm on the trolley.
You gotta like,
and people. I would say I don't think this is a Giants Patriots of 2008 or seven. I think this is kind of like a more recent you know, Chiefs Eagles. I feel like this is like a much closer or Chiefs Niners, same kind of thing. I feel like this is a much tougher matchup. I do think Daisy has the edge. So you got to give her the ring, but I'm expecting a final episode that is going to be up in the air. I don't think we're going to know for certain who's going to walk away with this. And past seasons, you really couldn't say that.
Yeah, I think we're set for one of these championship games where the first player who's about to be rejected steps out of the SUV and the camera's focused on their feet. And as it pans up, we really don't know who it's going to be. I really think it's that close right now, and that we've got that type of championship game in store. My analyst senses are again leaning a little bit toward Kelsey because of the profession of love that she got from Joey. But I will say this, that Kelsey didn't manage to do this. Daisy cultivated the rallying cry when during dinner with Joey, she said, "Falling in love with you is fun." And then Joey woke up the next morning in the fantasy suite, and he repeated that to her. So that's the flag above the locker room heading out into the tunnel right now. That's the flag that Joey's slapping, and he seems to be rallying behind it. And so, yeah, I mean, these are two great players just pulling great moves, both of them playing for the ring, just like our wonderful fans. Thank you so much for checking us out every single week on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, RIP Stitcher, but we still got two spots for you, and really anywhere you get your podcasts, we're going to be there for you. And we love it when you join, tell your friends about us, leave us a rating, a review. All of it helps us grow. And we're so thankful for everything you do to help spread the word about the Bachelor Zone and help us become a bigger, better show. We always love hearing from you on social media. Our Instagram and TikTok handles are at BachelorZonePod, and our email is thebachelorzonepodcast@gmail.com. Send us a message anytime. We love hearing from you, and we love chopping it up and getting back to you. And very special thanks to our wonderful patrons over at patreon.com. That's where you get all your exclusive Bachelor Zone bonus content, including Left Unsaid, where we get into all the hot topics that we don't have a chance to cover on the main feed. So if you want to hear about Duddy's recent trip to Canada that he had with a sketch comedy team, you want to hear about some of our Hall of Fame strongly worded emails, want to find out what the word shambolic means, it's all going to be there tonight on Left Unsaid. Come on over. We'd love to have you join. Can't wait to have all you join us next week as we break down the men tell all and do a deeper dive into the finals. It's going to be a great time. Until then, for Zachary Pike and Daniel A. Duddy, I'm Michael Wally, and this is The Bachelor Zone.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.